at the Metropolitan Opera, but I don't know if it's ever been played since. And the only opera they play of Humperdinck, Engelbert Humperdinck, is Hansel and Gretel. But it's, if you hear it, it's some very delightful music. It's from the Königskinder, and which is the king's children. And it was originally a melodrama, then set as an opera. Again, by a composer that mainly known for one work. Well, if I can find some more of these in the future, I'll do it. Today, we heard works of Galindo, Moncayo, Paderewski, Donizetti, not opera, Hershey Kay, Gottlieb Graun, Paul Duca, not the Sorcerer's Apprentice, Graupner, and Engelbert Humperdinck. Christoph Graupner, by the way. So, not a common work in the... Now, I really hope that you found this interesting, those of you that bared with me. And it was some unusual material. You're listening to WSUSB, and this has been your host, David Brown, bringing you 3 hours of tonight unusual music. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for Stardate.
Stardate May 6th. Earth acts like a giant bar magnet. That's why a compass needle points generally to the north. It aligns itself with lines of force that stretch between the north and south magnetic poles. But the compass doesn't point precisely north because Earth's magnetic poles aren't located at its geographical poles. Instead, they're generally at about 78 degrees north and south latitude. That puts the North Magnetic Pole in northeastern Canada. It's thought that Earth's magnetism stems from molten material near its core. Within the Earth, there's a central mass of turbulent molten iron. The combination of the spinning Earth and the turbulent motion in the molten iron ultimately generate Earth's magnetic field. Right now, the field of the Earth is aligned north-south, but that alignment can change. In fact, it has changed many times throughout the history of the Earth. From studies of geology, we've learned that Earth's magnetic polarity has reversed nearly 200 times in the past 100 million years. In between reversals of the field, the magnetism of the Earth could possibly drop to zero. We don't know enough about the field to predict the next reversal, but it's an important subject since Earth's magnetic field plays an important role in sustaining life on our planet. It shields us from harmful particles from the sun and from cosmic rays from outer space. For May the 6th, that's our program. We'd like to send you a copy of Stardate magazine. If you want to receive one, we'll need for you to send us your name and address and $1 to cover postage and handling to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, Texas, zip 78712. And please let us know where you hear Stardate, would you? For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What? Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
And good evening, Senator Kennedy.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Reversing the order in their first meeting, Senator Kennedy will make the second opening statement and the first closing statement. For the first opening statement, here is Vice President Nixon. Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
There's your seat. There you go,
Thank you. quite a draw there. Here on brain damage on WUSB in Stony Brook, 14 minutes after 10 o'clock. Of course, that was the music from The Prisoner. Don't know what it was doing there, but it was there nonetheless. We heard all kinds of Floydish type stuff, too. So, it's another Saturday night, and we all got each other, you know? We've got the telephone. It's sitting right over there. This is a phone-in program. Call us up, 632-6901. Speak on the air and have your voice transmitted electronically through the atmosphere and on into infinity. But before any of that gets started, we want to tell you that the weather is going to get interesting. There's a good chance of showers or thunderstorms tonight. A chance of rain is 50% with gusty winds. Make that 70%. Okay, apparently some new betting just came in because the odds just went up to 70%. Low will be in the upper 50s. Winds southwest 20 miles per hour, possibly higher at times, lower at other times. Sunday, mostly cloudy and breezy with a 50% chance of showers, high in the low 60s. Sunday night, variable cloudiness, cooler, low in the mid-40s. Monday, partly sunny, high around 60. It's hot as hell indoors right now because they messed up with the heating system again. Tell you, this campus, they don't get anything right, but, well, at least the buildings managed to stand up, although I've heard rumors. But I won't get into that. It's about 86 degrees in here now, but we're going to make it. We're going to get through the time remaining in this Saturday night and talk about all kinds of neat things, all kinds of things going on in the news. We have a good chance, and I'm not going to say any more than that, but we have, if you've been listening to this program for a while, tonight we have a better chance than we've ever had before of actually making that call to Albania. I have some inside information, and I'll get to that in just a few minutes. But before we do anything else, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this radio program, a feature that has become increasingly popular, Moscow Mailbag.
Here's Joe Adamov to answer your questions. Jim Heddle, a writer from Gaithersburg, Maryland, wants to know, do your children eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Peanut butter as such is unknown in our country, but peanuts do grow in small quantities in Central Asia. Our children do eat sandwiches with butter and cheese, ham, jam, salami, sausage. We do have jelly, but it's often eaten with a teaspoon, and it is followed by strong Russian tea.
Do Soviets pay taxes?
Yes, we do pay taxes. The maximum is 13% of our monthly income. But you know, taxes play a very small role in our national revenue, because most of the economy, you realize, is publicly owned, it is state-owned, and it's the state that gets the profit. Taxes make up a mere 8.3% of our revenues. Men between 20 and 50 and married women between 20 and 45, that is, married women with no children, pay a so-called bachelor's tax. The money goes to provide benefits to single mothers and families with many children. Speaking of taxes, I'll say that our cooperatives pay a sizable tax. What else? Well, I just paid $85 annual tax on my car, twice as much as last year. Our press has written very much of late about taxes. The press says that our tax system should be more differentiated. In other words, the lower paid brackets should be completely exempt from taxes, and taxes on those making large sums of money should be raised. And there are people that do earn large sums.
What is a typical school lunch?
A typical school lunch, I suppose, would be salad, soup, meatballs and potatoes, or hot dogs and peas, or beef stroganoff, And for dessert, it's usually stewed fruit. Well, anyway, that's what my friend who teaches in a school told me.
Do children go to school 6 days a week?
Yes, they go to school 6 days a week. The lower grades go 5 days a week.
What city is there like our Hollywood, capital of motion pictures?
Well, I suppose the biggest center that makes movies in the Soviet Union is Moscow, strange as it may seem. Though Moscow cannot boast too many sunny days, you know. We have 39 film studios in the country that produce 150 full-length feature films a year. They also produce 100 television films. Well, of course, that's not counting the over 1,000 documentary films, popular science films, and cartoons. Today, our film studios have been transferred to a self-financing system, so their only source of income is the money from the box office returns after the expenses of the picture are paid for. Well, can the movie industry boast of good films? I think it can. Just recently, our film Repentance was awarded the major special prize at the 40th Cannes Film Festival in France and the FIPRESI and Vatican prizes.
Now, Arnie Eisen from Orlando, Florida asks, is mail censored in the USSR?
You know, it's a very strange thing. You get a question, and a week or two later, it's repeated again. I just answered this, I think, in the last edition or the edition before that of Mailbag. A very queer phenomenon. But maybe it's because people read something about it in their papers and then write in to ask us. Now I'm going to answer your question. Today, we strictly adhere to the constitutional guarantee of the secrecy of correspondence and of telephone conversations.
Are my letters to you opened or inspected by my government before you get them?
Well, I think you'll have to ask your government about that. And as I've said just the other day, I spoke about the fact that in 1975, there was a big row in the United States Congress. It was disclosed that for 20 years, the CIA had been opening letters to and from the USSR. So, tut, 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 look who's been calling us the evil empire.
What is the state of the computer industry in your country?
Well, there are about 200,000, only 200,000 home computers in the country. We're behind the leading Western countries in making and using home computers by about 10 years. But we're putting up a plant in Chisinau to produce about 450,000 computers a year. By the end of this five-year plan, we'll be producing over 1 million a year. Now, I'll give you another fact. If you look at the number of computer program operators, we have 300,000. You have 2.5 times as many. But you know, nevertheless, we are concentrating on the development of a new generation of supercomputers which work at a speed of over 10 billion operations a second. We have working a computer which we call the PS2000. The capacity of this supercomputer is 200 million operations a second. Its development attracted the interest of specialists from the Control Data Corporation of the United States, incidentally. And they found that the Soviet approach was totally different from that used in developing the Cybers, the fastest United States computers. Nevertheless, the United States imposed restrictions on the supply of computer facilities and froze United States-Soviet trade in this field.
Are there any newspapers in the USSR printed in English? How may I obtain a subscription?
We have what I consider a very interesting paper called Moscow News. It is printed in English, too. I find it very interesting because it gives very much information on Soviet life, on international affairs, and contains very many critical articles which would surprise any unbiased reader. If you want to subscribe to it, I can give you the nearest address to Orlando, Florida. EBSCO Industries Incorporated. You can write this down. EBSCO is spelled E-B-S-C-O. EBSCO Industries Incorporated, 1st Avenue North at 13th Street, 1st Avenue North at 13th Street, Birmingham, Alabama.
Should my wife and I come to the Soviet Union for a vacation, what, if any, travel restrictions would we find?
You can visit all the 15 Soviet republics. I don't think you'll find any spot of interest to a tourist that is off limits to tourists. You may visit the Caucasus, Ukraine, Belarus, the Baltic republics, Moldavia, Siberia, Central Asia, Kazakhstan, such cities as Moscow, Leningrad, and Kiev, and of course the old Russian cities such as Suzdal, Vladimir, Novgorod, Rostov the Great, Yaroslav, Pskov, and Smolensk. I bet you've never heard of three-quarters of them. Of course, there are some areas that are off-limits to foreigners, just as there are some areas in the United States off-limits to us. Well, what you ask for restrictions, I don't know, then you'll have to adhere to the travel plan, which you will decide on when you buy your tour, as to what you may bring in or take out, or what you may or may not photograph. You'll find all that in the tourist's memo.
Would we be able to travel independent of organized tour groups?
Yes, in tourist, the Soviet Travel Company can offer you either group or individual tours to the Soviet Union. But you'll find the individual tours more expensive.
Could we rent a car in Moscow and drive ourselves? Is there travel assistance available?
Yes, you can rent a car in Moscow, either a small Lada or a bigger Volga. You have to adhere to the tourist auto routes. But, you know, I don't quite know what you mean by travel assistance. If you mean, camping sites, hotels, motels, meals, that sort of thing, auto service, maps, yes, you have all that. You can also have the help of a guide, and you'll be offered sightseeing tours, too.
How long could we stay? What must I do to make proper arrangements?
Now, you can stay for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month. Contact any major travel agency in the United States that arranges tours to the USSR, and they'll make all the necessary arrangements. Or you can contact our InTourist office in New York. InTourist, 630 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York. InTourist, 630 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York.
Could we come by train from Europe?
Sure. You can come from Finland, from West Europe, from Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, and from Turkey.
Would it be possible to travel to Romania?
Why not? They accept tourists, so I'm sure they'll be happy to have you.
Now I'd like to know about programs for the retired and elderly.
There are, at present, something like 57 million pensioners in our country, and all pensions, all Social Security, is government-financed. We pay nothing towards the pensions while working. Men can retire at 60, women at 55. Men must have a 25-year service record, women 20 years. But those working in arduous and hazardous jobs may retire much earlier, and they get a larger pension. For instance, women air hostesses may retire at 45. The mass media here has been stressing of late the fact that our minimum pensions are very low. In fact, they're below the poverty line. The newly elected deputies to our Congress have said they will raise this question before the newly elected Congress. And naturally, our retired people enjoy free medical aid like the rest of our citizens.
William R. Villa from Baltimore, Maryland, is interested. Do you have zoos in Moscow? What are they like? Open environment, petting zoos, or just cages? What kind of animals do you have in them?
The Moscow Zoo, you know, is 125 years old. Some animals are kept in open environments, some in cages. It's forbidden to feed the animals, although many visitors do. The zoo has rides, pony rides for children. As for the animals, well, there are about 5,000 different animals. The zoo is visited by 3.5 million people every single year. That's a lot. But, you know, perhaps the most interesting and I would say the gayest spot is the enclosure for baby animals where lion cubs, little pigs, puppies, wolf cubs, bear cubs, and kids all live and play together and form one big and happy family. You know, once I was doing a show for television and held two bear cubs in my hands. The manager of the zoo asked me to put the bears down on the lawn and said, "Now watch this." And he led a full-grown goat to graze on that lawn next to the bear cubs. They both immediately took on an aggressive pose and got up on their hind legs, threatening the goat and tried to scare it. Well, the goat kept on nibbling at the grass, but then it got tired of these little fellows and poked one of them with its horns. You know what happened? They immediately took refuge by quickly climbing up a tree, with one on top defecating on the head of the one below. You should see the uproar that this caused in the crowd that was watching this scene. Well, anyway, our zoo has many exchanges. That is, it exchanges animals with many zoos of the world and does quite a lot of scientific work besides.
Mitchell Newworth from Colorado Springs, Colorado, writes, "I heard that Europe is going to unite to make it easier for trade. Does that unification also take in the Soviet Union?"
It does not take in the Soviet Union, but we are represented by Ambassador Shemyatenkov at the European Economic Community because we want to normalize relations between the EEC and Comecon, the Organization of the Socialist Countries.
Martin Martel, Scarborough, Ontario. "How many people enter the USSR each year?"
About 5 million. Incidentally, last year, three times more Soviet people went abroad for personal reasons than in the year before. And would you believe it? 108,000 people emigrated, which is 2.7 times more than the year before and 18 times more than in 1986. So you see, things are getting easier.
That was Joe Adamoff answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR.
Of course, when you do write to Radio Moscow, we expect you to mention that you heard us, or heard that, here on WUSB in Stony Brook. It would certainly be nice.
Thank you.
And in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be attempting that infamous call to Albania. So stay with us. If you want to get an early slot and be one of the first callers, 632-6901. We'll be opening up the phones a little later on. Area code 516-632-6901.
I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along, yes, rolling along. And I'm quitting the blues of the world. I'm singing a song, yes, singing a song. Glory, hallelujah, just told the parson, hey, Paul, get ready to call. Just like Humpty Dumpty, I'm going to fall. And I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along, don't want any million, I'm getting my share. I've only got one suit, just one, that's all I can wear. A bundle of money don't make me feel gay. A sweet little honey is making me sad. And I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along, and I'm quitting the blues of the world. I'm singing a song, just singing a song. Glory, hallelujah, just told the parson, hey, Paul, get ready to call. Just like Humpty Dumpty, I'm gonna fall. Yeah, I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along.
Oh, yes. Al Jolson, thank you very much, Al. And we're all sitting around here listening to sounds of the past, sounds from foreign countries. It's just so much fun, you know? Yes. Well, now, before we get into this call that we want to do, thank you, we're going to... there's a problem here, you see. Not only is it 86 degrees in the studio, but there's two clocks here, and they tell radically different times. One says it's 10:34, the other says it's 10:37. Now, I'm not one to complain. I'm not one to try and demonstrate how difficult my life is. But I want you to see just how difficult it is to find out what time it is. Okay? Which clock do I believe? Is it 10:37 or is it 10:34? Simple matter. Let's just find out. Let's call the time. Okay. Pick up the phone. Oh. We're not allowed to call the time. That's right. Okay. Well, let's call the operator then. Maybe the operator can tell us what time it is. Everybody suddenly left. Well, the operator should be here any moment now. Yes. Operator. No, I guess we're not allowed to call the operator then. Okay, let's try calling the operator in by going through here. There, let's do that. No problem. We'll find out what time it is.
Yourself, Lawson, have you?
Yes, operator, I need to know what time it is.
I can't give out the time.
Oh, dear. Well, can you connect me to the time?
Well, I can connect you with information to get the time, but also you have to build a call.
Okay. So do I build a call to the number I'm calling from?
No. You either have to call it on a credit card, or you can't bill it to another number, just a credit card, sir. Because you can't call the time you'll collect.
I see. So once I find a credit card, I can make the call and find out what time it is.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. That's just the way it is then. Thank you. yes. Well, okay. We're not finished yet. We are not finished yet. How are we going to do this? How are we going to find out what time it is? Any ideas? Anyone have any ideas? Okay, let's see if this is an idea. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric.
Yeah?
Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. What time is it?
What time is it?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah, 1037.
1037?
Yeah.
Well, how do you know?
What?
How do you know, for sure? I mean, I believe you, but you're not the speaking clock, you see.
No, but I timed this with New Year's Eve.
Okay, and you have an accurate clock?
Yes.
Okay, good enough. 1037 it is. Why don't you say something while I set this clock over here?
All right, what are you talking about?
If it wasn't for our listeners, I don't know where we would be. What are we talking about? Nothing yet, because we haven't really started doing anything yet. We're going to try making that call to Albania, but I had to find out what time it was first. And I'm setting the clock right now. What's on your mind, Andrew?
I didn't call you the last 2 weeks because I was in Florida.
Oh, how's Florida these days?
Not that bad, really.
Uh-huh.
The weather. I had one day of rain, and that was the day we left. That was it. We stayed there for 12 days.
Uh-huh. 11 days of sun, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew, is it 11? Is it 10:38 yet?
Yeah, just turned that.
Okay, good. Beautiful. Okay, we are now back in sync. Anything else on your mind, Andrew?
No, I was just have something to talk about this week.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure we will, because there's a whole... You see, it's a problem. It's 86 degrees in the studio right now, and we have a fan going. I brought in all these clippings, but I have to hold them down, because if I put them down by themselves, they blow all over the place. So I can't really see what the clippings say, because I have things all over them holding them down.
Well, I never asked. I was there for the last brain damage during the radiothon.
Yeah?
How much money did you finally get?
How much money did we get for the radiothon? We got, I believe, just over $20,000, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that money is being put to good use. And if you have, speaking to the listeners now, if you are expecting to get some kind of premium in the mail and you have not yet gotten it, it should be coming almost any day. We've been deluged with premiums to mail out. If you have not honored your pledge, please honor your pledge, because it's one thing to promise to send money, and it's another thing to send it. We do need every penny, so please send it in today if you haven't already. Anything else, Andrew?
Well, you know, just say hi to everybody there.
Okay, well, any more books coming out of you?
Books?
Yeah.
No, I've retired.
You've retired. Okay, well, perhaps that's all for the best, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
632-6901. Good evening. You're in brain damage. Okay, well, sometimes people forget to hang up the phone sometimes when they give up. Okay, enough of this. We're going to make the call to the most mysterious country in the world, the country that you can never call, the closed society of Albania, that has made it quite clear that they do not want to hear from us, or almost anybody else for that matter. Last week we tried calling them, and we were told that no such service exists. We cannot call Albania from this country, ever. Saddening to find that out, of course, but we're not going to give up that easily. In the last week, I was able to find out what the actual country code of Albania is. It's, for those of you who want to know, it's 355. Now, we can dial overseas direct on these magical phones here. Just can't call the time, but we can dial overseas direct. I'm certain it's not going to work if I enter a country code of 355, but I am going to try to see what happens. I do have a phone number, too. The phone number is only 4 digits long, and it's the phone number for their one of their radio stations, which I guess is kind of funny if we actually do get through. So we have a 3-digit country code, a 4-digit phone number. Let's try dialing. See what happens. And finish it off with the pound sign key. It's not going to work.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or call your operator to help you.
Okay, well, I kind of expected that to happen. What we're going to do now is go through the operator and reach the international operator, and we're going to tell her to place the call by giving her the country code and the phone number, but we're not going to say anything about Albania, because if we say something about Albania, she'll say, oh, no, 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 you can't call them. If we just say country code 355 and phone number 3239, which is the phone number I'm trying to get through to, who knows? It just might go through. Let's find out. Operator's on the way. I sure hope she's on the way. Here we go.
New York telephone, Mrs. Gunther, may I help you?
Yes, AT&T, please.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
AT&T, Brandon, may I help you?
Yes, IOC, please.
For what country, sir?
I'm not certain what country. I know it's something that I need them for, though.
What's the number, then?
Okay, it's country code 355, and the number is only four digits. It's 3239.
All right, hold on, sir. At least we can let's check this out. 355.
Thank you. This is my imagination. Her voice tinged with sarcasm.
No, I have no country listed with the number of 355. Wait a minute. Let me go back to this.
Just what I need, an investigative operator.
That's IOC for 355. No, I have no country with 35 either. You don't know what country it is?
No. I've called this number before. I've always gone through the international operator, but it was a long time ago. Another lifetime, in fact.
Okay. And you don't know what country you were talking to?
Well, you see, I call a lot of countries. I'm not certain precisely which one it is. I know it's in Europe. That much I can tell you. And in the 20th century, too.
Well, 353 is Ireland.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's Ireland.
Well, let me put you up to my supervisor, okay? And perhaps they can figure it out, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Love talking to supervisors almost as much as I love talking to operators. By the way, she can't hear my sarcastic remarks, in case you think I'm being very rude. It's 10:44 here, a Saturday night.
Supervisor, may I help you?
Yes, hi. I'm trying to make an international call, and I'm trying to go through the international operator.
Okay. What country?
Well, that's just it. I don't know the country. I just have the number.
What number do you have?
Okay, I've got country code 355, and then a number of 3239.
And you need the international operator?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, that's what I need.
Let me check the country for you.
Thank you. Okay, I've got an idea. I've got an idea.
We have no country 355. Or do we have a country 35?
Well, yes, there's a reason for it. It's an unlisted country, you see.
If it's an unlisted country, how am I going to connect you to the international operator? I have no idea what number to connect you to.
Okay, last time I did this, I talked to the international operator, and I just gave her the number, and she dialed that number, and it went through. That's all I know.
Okay, every country has a different number for the international operator. Now, if I don't know what country it is, how would I connect you?
Well, I know it's a... Nothing wrong with your radios. You're listening to Brain Damage. We do this kind of thing all the time. Trying to call Albania. And if this doesn't work, folks, I've got a backup plan, so...
One moment, please.
Thank you very much. I don't think that I went into this without doing a whole lot of research.
Can I help you?
You're calling from 516-632-6000.
Thank you.
Welcome.
What country?
Hi, I don't have the country name. I just have the numbers.
Well, we have to know what country you're calling.
I know it's adjacent to Yugoslavia, but it might even be a part of Yugoslavia, but it's got its own code.
What numbers do you have?
Okay, I've got country code 355,
yeah.
And the number is 3239.
Moment.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
No, sir, I can't. There's no way we can do the call. I don't know what country it is.
Really? Even with the numbers, you can't do it?
No.
I see. So, if I find out what country it is, then that might help?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, but you can't look up the country with that number?
No. No.
Okay. Is it possible that it's a country that maybe has changed its name or something?
No. No.
Okay. All right, well, thanks anyway.
All right.
Bye-bye.
When you die, your eyes pop out, your head becomes a mushy lump. Your stomach is an empty sack, and bugs crawl up and down your back. You just lay there, and you never have to speak. And there's nothing you should hear. There's no difference between a minute or a week or a month or a year. Some folks say that when you die, your soul goes on to another place. Others beg to differ, and they say this world is all there is. Then there's others who can never quite decide, though perhaps one day they will. It's quite difficult unless you see the slide from the bottom of the hill.
Truer words were never spoken. Donner Party here on USB. Brain Damage with you until midnight. Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516. And time now for the backup plan, which I made reference to before. If our attempt to call Albania was unsuccessful, we do have another plan. And we're going to see if this actually works. It might. We're going to call Australia and speak to an operator over there. I think this number will work. Toll-free 800 number that goes to an Australian operator. Sure sounds Australian.
Telecom Australia, good afternoon.
Yes, hi, is this an Australian operator?
It sure is.
Oh, great. I'm calling from the United States, but I guess you probably already know that. I'm wondering if I have an Australian calling card or credit card number.
Yeah.
Am I able to call a country other than Australia from here?
One moment, I'll just check that.
Thank you. International intrigue, that's what we're all about here. That's the Pacific Ocean you hear. We're going across the whole thing.
Operator?
Yes?
Hello, operator. Is that an Australian credit card, is it?
Yes. So I don't have it right now, but I want to know if I'm able to call another country from here with that.
You can only call back here. Are you an operator?
No, I'm not. Do I sound like one?
All right. No.
Okay, so I can only call to Australia, huh?
Yeah.
Are you able to tell me, are you able to call Albania from Australia?
Yes.
You are able to?
Yes.
You wouldn't have to know their country code, would you?
Whereabouts in the U.S. are you?
I'm in New York. This is probably the highlight of her entire week.
Did an operator put you through?
Well, I
you called... You dialed me by yourself.
I'm sorry?
Did you dial me by yourself?
Yes, I did.
Hello, sir?
Yes, I have a bad speakerphone here. Yes, I did dial you myself.
Okay. It's the Sydney supervisor. Are you going to be... Do you want to speak to Albania? Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Well, you'll have to go through your own international telephone exchange wherever you are in the USA.
Okay, you see, that's the problem. They won't let us call Albania from here. I was wondering if there was any way I could route it through there.
No, you can't. Where did you ring? The international operator in New York, or did you ring Pittsburgh?
New York.
What, in your telephone book, what does it say to ring the international operator? Doesn't it say for different countries?
Yes, but Albania isn't one of them. That's one you have to call from another country.
Hold on, let's just check.
Okay. I just might get somewhere with this, I don't know. Apparently they don't know about this.
Yeah, your country doesn't have access to Albania by the look of things.
Yeah, yeah. Your country does, though?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, can you just tell me what the country code is, and then maybe I'll...
Well, it's no use me giving you the country code, because it's a call where it's doubly handed by two international operators, one here and one in a distant country as well.
I see.
It'd be like me calling the United States with another country as an intermediate country assisting me.
Uh-huh.
Is
there anything you can...
What have they told you at the International Exchange?
They just said, forget it. It's impossible for us to do this. And, I find that very hard to accept in this day and age.
Yeah, just hold on. I'll see what I can find out for you. Hold on.
Thank you very much. Australian operators, they're so helpful, you know? And this is an 800 number. That's the best thing. Amazing. 7 minutes to 10 o'clock. We have an updated weather forecast. 14 degrees
Celsius. I'm off the line, but don't hang up, whatever you do.
Okay, I won't. Thank you. This might move to Australia. I mean, they let you call out Albania.
Oh.
Don't know what that was. Well, anyway, it's 14 degrees Celsius. That's 57 on the Fahrenheit scale. 105 degrees in here, but that's irrelevant. In case you think we're losing our minds, they're just melting in our heads. Not in our hands. Cloudy with showers tonight. A few thunderstorms. Low in the low to mid 50s. Winds will be southeast, becoming southwest.
Hold on, sir.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Got to turn down the level on that. Does anybody know the difference between a southeast wind and a southwest wind? I mean, really? Winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. That's all you got to tell me, you know? 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusty near storms. Sunday, mostly cloudy and breezy, with a 50% chance of showers, high near 60. Winds, 20 miles per hour. From now on, that's all I'm going to say. Unless somebody can prove to me that it makes a difference to them. Sunday night, variable cloudiness and cooler, low in the low 40s. And on Monday, partly sunny, high around 60. Again, 14 degrees Celsius, 57 on the Fahrenheit scale. Anybody out there buy a lotto ticket? Not a lotto ticket. One of those ridiculous Pennsylvania lottery things. The people came from all over the country to go down there and buy a ticket. I mean, I don't understand that. People came from Europe. They came from California. From all over the place. They bought thousands of dollars worth of tickets. Hundreds of dollars worth of tickets. Even 10 tickets is crazy when you think of it. I mean, so many people buying tickets, that means the odds of you winning are so infinitesimal. How infinitesimal, you may ask? Well, glad you asked, because in the New York Times today is a terrific little piece by somebody who is a professor of actuarial science. Don't ask me what that is, but they talk about things like this all the time. At the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, named Jean Lemaire, or Jean Lemaire, I don't know if it's Jean or Jean.
Still holding. Hold on.
Okay, thank you. While we're holding in Australia, I'll try to read you this. Apparently sane individuals drove hundreds of miles and waited in lines for hours last month to purchase a single commodity. It didn't happen in Moscow. It happened in Pennsylvania. The commodity was Super 7 tickets in the Pennsylvania lottery. Some buyers made a special trip from Texas, California, and even Europe to participate. An office worker drove from New York to buy $8,000 worth of tickets. Newspapers published numerous reports of people shelling out more than $1,000. Pennsylvanians and visitors were purchasing at an average rate of 500 per second. Tickets had offered them a shot at the $100 million jackpot at odds of 9.6 million to 1. Now, this is the good part. all of the following events are more likely than hitting the Pennsylvania jackpot with a single ticket? Well, placing a successful call to Albania has got to be more probable than that, but we won't mention that anymore. If you play 120 bridge hands this week, one of them will be perfect. Four aces, four kings, four queens, and one jack for a total of 37 points. Okay? Another thing that's more likely, you will be dealt four aces outright and two consecutive poker hands if you play seven games. Not bad, eh? Okay, if Mike Schmidt of the Phillies gets six at-bats tonight, he will hit six home runs. Right-hitting shortstop Steve Zeltz will have a 39-game hitting streak this year. If the Phillies win 67 games this year and the Mets 97, the Phillies will sweep their series against the Mets. That's 18 games in a row. Fascinating. Okay. More sports. In a tennis match between two players of equal ability, one of them will win the first set 6-love, his opponent failing to score a single point. That's 24 points in a row. That happened to me once. You will play Russian roulette, one chamber and six containing a bullet 88 times, and survive. Of course, it could be a lousy shot, too, but that don't enter into it. Okay, you will die in a car accident the next time you drive, assuming you use your car 5 times a day. More likely than winning the lottery. Your neighbor will commit suicide this afternoon. Or you will live past the age of 115. Well, still not convinced? Consider a man purchasing one lottery ticket every week throughout his lifetime. On average, he will win one jackpot every 184,615 years. How long would he have to live in order to be 99% sure of winning once? At least 553,058 years. Or, in other words, if all 102 settlers on the Mayflower had purchased a lottery ticket once a week and given instructions to their descendants to continue until today, there are 80 chances out of 100 that no one would have won. The inescapable conclusion is that lottery madness is based on people's misperception of the chances that rare events will occur, and that it might not be the smartest idea in the world to spend a whole lot of money on lottery tickets. What do you think? You think it's a smart thing to do? I mean, I don't see anything wrong with buying a lottery ticket now and then, but when you see people buying thousands of dollars worth of lottery tickets, I mean, come on, it must be nuts. I mean, even if you have thousands of dollars, why not give thousands of dollars to the people in Penn Station? And I don't mean the Long Island Railroad, you know? It just seems like such a waste. Now, yeah, the money goes into education, but in actuality, the money is being wasted by gambling. It's no different from gambling. It's no different from gambling. There's no way you can convince me that it's any different from gambling because people get the same kind of craziness about them, and they waste money and they can't stop. And it's ironic that something that's illegal is also state-sanctioned all over the country, all over the world, in fact. So I'd like to hear your opinions on that. That's one of the things that I wanted to talk about tonight, if we ever get off the phone with Australia. And what else? Oh, there's an interesting piece in the paper also today on the Associated Press. For the first time since, I believe, World War II, an American city has been bombed. I don't mean drunk out of their skulls. I mean bombed with things that come out of airplanes and explode. Hostile fire, you know, that kind of thing.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, please wait. We're still figuring out what we're doing.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What part of Australia are you in?
Sydney.
Sydney. What time of day is it over there now?
It's 1 p.m. this afternoon, Sunday.
What time in the afternoon?
1 p.m. Sunday afternoon.
Oh, really? It's 11 o'clock at night on Saturday here.
All right.
How is Sunday shaping up?
It's sunny for a change.
Yeah, we have thunderstorms.
All right. Right now?
Yes. Right.
Oh, you, I hope you got your raincoat on.
No, I'm inside. Is somebody on the line?
Yeah, yes,
there is.
How many people do we have here?
Three.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and another person.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been to United States?
A bigger?
Have you ever been to the United States?
No, I haven't.
Do you ever plan to come to the United States?
Maybe one day.
Yeah, it's a fun place.
It is?
Yeah, I'd like to go to Australia.
Yeah. I don't think I'd like the weather over there.
Well, you see, the weather... I'm in New York, and it can be 95 degrees in the summertime and minus 10 in the wintertime. That's Fahrenheit, of course.
Minus 10? Minus 10's a bit cold for me.
Yeah, I know, but you get the best of both worlds and the worst of both worlds, too.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, it's a fun place, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
What do I say to these people? Well, anyway.
You know people in Albania, do you?
Well, I know one person in Albania, yes. I mean, I never met him.
How come you're not out having a good time?
I'm sorry?
I said, how come you're not out having a good time?
Well, actually, I am having a good time. I mean, I just happen to be on the phone at the moment, but I'm enjoying myself, so...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. What kind of hours do you have to put in as an operator?
7 hours, 18 minutes.
Really? That's...
That's all right.
Why not just an even 8 hours?
Because we don't work 40-hour days, 40-hour weeks over here.
Oh, no?
No. Oh, some people do, but not operators.
How many hours do you work a week?
About 37, I think it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what's the name of the phone company over there?
It's Telecom.
Just Telecom?
Yeah, that's the only phone company we have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we used to have just one, and they split it up, and now everything's all messed up.
Yeah.
No one knows how to make a phone call anymore.
I'll tell you what, some of those operators they have over there, they're a real pain.
Yeah, yeah, over here, yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, we try our best to give everyone the service that they ask for.
Yeah, I can understand that.
My set device is just checking whether we can give you a call to Albania or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess no one's ever asked this before, huh?
That's true. The operator over there, we had to ring two operators to find out.
Uh-huh.
And they don't even know what they're talking about.
Do they speak English at least?
Yes, they did.
Well, that's good.
What? Did you get an operator that didn't speak English?
Well, we've had that happen several times, and we need language assistance or something crazy like that. And I don't speak any other languages real good, you know? Including this one, some people tell me. Oh, okay. I'm going to try to read this story now.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Sorry to have kept you. Oh, I've just been talking to my senior supervisor as well.
Okay.
The problem is you being in the USA. If you're in Australia,
uh-huh.
We could easily book a normal call to Albania from Australia. But because you're in the United States, you come under their jurisdiction. If they don't have that service, there's nothing I can do. I have tried for you.
I see. So it's because the United States doesn't have the service. That's the reason?
Well, they don't have any communication with Albania at all.
I see.
And I've also spoken to the AT&T International Exchange Supervisor as well, and she said no service.
All right. Now, if I was to come to Australia, being an American citizen, I wouldn't be breaking any rules by making a phone call to them, would I?
No way. If you were to come to Australia to make a call to Albania, I'd take my hat off to you.
Okay. Well, I guess...
If I were to come to Australia and say, ring 0101, which is our international booking level in Australia, and say, I wish to make a call to Albania.
Uh-huh.
My operator will take all the details for you, and she will call the relevant overseas operator, who in this case is the Athens operator.
Okay.
Because it's what we call a double-ticket call, where it's handled by us and by an intermediate country.
Okay.
The operator has the direct circuit to Albania. So we have to book all our calls with her.
All right, so it goes through Athens then?
Well, it does from here, yes. So
yeah.
What you'd have to do is, as you said, if you were to come to Australia,
uh-huh.
And you'd be a normal everyday subscriber as far as we're concerned, and you were to call 0101, we'd gladly book you a call to Albania.
That's 0101. Okay. And how long does it take usually for the call to go through?
Well, it depends. If the number in Albania has, if the people have a phone on,
yeah.
The people in
Albania have a phone on, and it's an easy... Whereabouts in Albania? Is it Tirana?
Yes, it is.
It is Tirana?
Yes, the capital city.
Yeah, okay, well, they're usually quite easy. All we have to do is, when the Athens operator answers us, we say, look, it's Sydney, we'd like to book a call to Albania with you. She'll say, what's the number, what's your party's name, who are they calling, what time's the call required. And then we put the call into our computer, and at that designated time, or maybe an hour later or something, when Athens gets the party in Albania, see what she does is, she, when we book the call with Athens, she rings the Tirana operator, right?
Yeah.
So there's three of us involved. It's rather complex.
I see.
Tirana operator will wait for the designated time, and she'll call the party in Tirana that you want to speak to, right?
Okay.
At that stage, she will call the Athens operator and say, look, your call, the Sydney, Australia call to Tirana number is waiting. Then the Athens operator will call my Sydney operator, who will extract the call out of the equipment, make sure you're talking well, time it, that's it.
Okay.
It's rather complex, but it does work.
Do you get many calls to Albania?
Oh, we get a few. It depends on, we don't have a large Albanian population here, but we do get some.
Uh-huh. I see. Can you also call North Korea? Because that's another one we're not allowed to call.
Yes, we can.
You can. Let me ask you this. Is there any place you can't call?
Not really. We can call nearly anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's great, because it's not like that
here. There's only one place, Cambodia, we can't call.
Oh, you can't call there?
No, there's no service from anywhere in the world, let alone Australia.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Come to Australia and you say you want to book a call to Albania, you'll at least get through.
I see. Okay, well, that's another reason to come to Australia for me.
All right, good luck.
Okay, thanks very much for your help.
I take care. My pleasure.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And they're off. We'll leave the line on to see if it makes any funny noises as it hangs up, but that's the deal. You have to book the call. You have to go to another country to book the call. That's incredible. I've never seen such help. It's gone. I've never seen such helpful operators. I mean, can you imagine having a conversation like that with an American operator? It's like, I can't help you, sir, you know? But these people, oh boy, that's putting a big star next to Australia there. I've got a bunch of other countries I wanted to call, but since that took such a long time, I might just postpone that. We did learn a few things from this. We learned that the calls go through Athens, I almost said Athens, Georgia. That's not correct. Athens, Greece. And that's how they place them. So perhaps there's a way we can figure out how to route things through there. We'll continue working on it. If anybody else has any tips or suggestions, either phone in or write in to Brain Damage here at WUSB in Stony Brook. And our phone number now, we're taking your calls, is 632-6901, area code 516. Got some more articles here, but we'll get to those in a little while. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, my name is George. I want to ask you something. Do you get charged for calling the overseas operator?
No, you don't get charged for calling the overseas operator at all.
No?
No, there's no charge for that. You can call overseas information. You can call language assistance. The charges don't begin until you actually make the call to the party.
Uh-huh. Okay, I have another question. And I wonder if the WSB is being funded by polity.
Yes, we receive funds from the student government here at Stony Brook. Yes, that's for our operating budget.
Uh-huh. What if the mandatory activity fee being canceled? What do you see the impact on the WSB?
Has the vote taken place on that yet?
Yes, on Thursday.
And what was the result?
It's not being revealed yet.
I would hope that that it would remain a mandatory activity fee, although when you think of it, you know, people voting on whether it should be a mandatory fee means that it's, you know, not something that you have no say in. You know, it's you're voting to make it a mandatory fee. The reason I think it should be kept is because there are so many services here at Stony Brook that everybody benefits from, like the radio station, the newspapers, and all kinds of other student activities that take place. And to make the funding uncertain and wavering from year to year would cripple those organizations, ourselves included. So that's why, you know, in this day and age, we need a steady a steady flow there, you know, and to make it a good university community. So I sure hope students recognize the importance of that. You're a student here, I guess.
Yes, I'm a student.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One more last question.
Sure.
Yeah. Are you a student? Are you a graduate student?
I'm an alumni of this place. What, did I say that in a funny way?
No.
Well, I am an alumni. I should say that more often, I guess. You know, I still have ties to this place.
Uh-huh.
Mostly parking tickets, but, you know, some good ties, too.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Auto Whisper Niggers.
Right. I'll tell you where we're headed. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric.
Yo.
How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I've been listening to your show for a couple of weeks now. I really like it.
Well, that's good.
I'm sitting here with my friends listening to it.
Uh-huh. They're still your friends, huh?
Yeah, I have a bunch of friends downstairs listening to your show right now. I'm just introducing them to it. They really like it.
And right now they're hearing your voice on the radio, even though you're upstairs.
It's on the radio.
It's amazing, isn't it?
There isn't an echo, is there?
No, we're just repeating ourselves.
Good, okay. I'm amazed.
Chris, I can't believe you
guys. I'm amazed that in this day and age, we can't even call a country like Albania.
That's Albania, not Albania, Albania.
It just amazes me.
Say it with pride.
Do you think it has something to do with our government?
Well, they are the ones in charge, so I do imagine it has something to do with that. There's a bunch of things we can't really do all that easily. Like I don't think we're allowed to visit Cuba very readily and stuff like that. So making phone calls to Albania is another thing that's a no-no. Of course, I don't think the Albanians are too thrilled with us calling them either.
No, probably not. I wouldn't say so.
I know they don't like it when we visit them. That's why they don't let us visit them.
Well, you know, I don't see it's fair that Australia can call them, but we can't, you know?
I don't think it's fair at all. But, the Australians seem so friendly, though, don't they? You know, I can imagine.
The operators are very nice there.
Yeah, the whole world must like them. So,
it would be a better place, yes, definitely.
Yeah. So, I don't know, should I go to Australia to call this place?
If it's that important to you, go ahead.
I'm not sure, you know, they may have actually called somebody in Albania a few minutes ago to ask them that question. I think they talked to somebody in Athens, but it's possible another call was placed to Albania, so we may have actually made a phone ring in Albania, which was the point of this whole thing, except we just don't know if we did or not.
Well, I suppose they tried it out, but I don't know. You know.
Well, we did succeed in getting people all over the world to talk about Albania.
are you thinking of trying to call through Greece?
Three continents at once. From this radio studio here, three continents at once were talking about Albania because of us. I mean, that's power, you know?
Well, yeah, it's the power of radio.
Yeah. So, you say you've been listening to this show a few weeks?
Yes, I have. Since, let's see, was it December, I think? And I was just flipping around, and I came onto this show.
Uh-huh.
And I liked it, so I'm listening to it ever since.
What do you think of the lottery? Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. And as a matter of fact, my uncle, who works in Philadelphia, bought a ticket.
Really?
Yeah, but really, I can't believe the odds are that high. It amazes me that anyone would even bother to buy a ticket.
Uh-huh. Well, I can see buying one ticket, but somehow people think they're going to improve their odds a lot if they buy 1,000 tickets, and it just doesn't work that way, you know?
Yeah, it's not true, because how many tickets can you buy? Can you keep buying tickets forever? When do all the numbers get used up?
I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I mean, well, you know, I don't think the numbers do get used up. I'm not sure if you pick your own numbers. I think you pick your own numbers, in which case there's an unlimited supply.
Well, let's suppose, all right, so what is it, 100, what is it right now, the jackpot?
Well, they won, so that's over, I think, but it was something like $100 million, I don't know.
What if 100 people got the same number? Wouldn't you feel bad? I mean, you spent, you mortgaged off your house to buy all these tickets,
well,
and then you 100 people had the same number as you, and all you get is $1 million.
They had something like 17 winners, so, I mean, there wasn't one person that got $100 million. Not that anybody really needs $100 million.
Yeah, I was just saying, but if you really stretch the odds, there is a possibility that more than 100 people could have picked the same number, and they would have to distribute the money evenly between these 100 people.
Uh-huh.
Just the, you know, it would be worthless.
Uh-huh.
I'd want to win it all for myself.
Yes, it's the point of the thing, you know. You want to win a lottery, you don't want to share it with other people.
Oh, can I say hello to somebody who's out there listening right now?
Go right ahead.
Hello, Matt. How are you doing? I hope you're enjoying the show. Matt just started listening tonight. He loves you. He loves it.
Well, that's good. That's good. We want to have a devoted following here. And, Matt, I hope you keep listening. I'm sure he likes hearing his name on the radio.
I'm sure he loves it, yeah.
In stereo.
All his friends may be hearing it, too. And,
stereophonic sounds, you know? Okay, what town are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bayshore.
Bayshore? Oh, that's a nifty place.
Not so nifty, I don't know. Yeah, it depends on what you think.
Well, you got car dealerships down there, don't you?
Yes, we do.
So,
lots of them.
That's a nifty type of thing to have.
Well, not really. There are so many car dealerships with so many lights that if you go out on the street, you can't even see the stars. It's so bright.
Oh, but you see the brand new 1990 Toyotas, right? I mean, come on.
That's what we need, more of those.
Where are your priorities, man? Now,
I think I'll buy Mazda anyway.
don't all the car dealerships have the huge American flags flying proudly?
Oh, well, the more money they make, the huger the flag.
Yeah, I mean, they're incredibly big, you know, like the size of a football field or
extremely,
something.
Extremely large. And you can always tell which ones are doing better, of course, by the size of the flags.
Yeah, well, one day the flag is going to become too big for the pole and the whole damn thing is going to fall over.
I hope I'm there when that happens.
And take out a school or something. Okay, well, I want to thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you for listening, but thanks for calling and thanks for all that stuff.
Okay, have a good night.
Take care. Our number is 632-6901, talking about lottery things, calls to Albania, and what we started to talk about before, but never finished because we were talking to Australia. For the first time in since World War II, a town in the United States has been bombed. I'm surprised nobody has asked me, well, what do you mean by that? Well, okay, this is what I mean. An Air Force fighter pilot accidentally dropped a live 500-pound bomb over Brantley, Georgia. It's a rural west... I hate saying that word. All right, rural west Georgia town, okay? Narrowly missing homes. The bomb went off, but no one was hurt. It happened Thursday as the F-16 was returning to Moody Air Force Base at Valdosta after a training exercise at Fort Benning. The pilot, not identified, tried to release the bomb over Fort Benning's Kylo impact area during the exercise, but it jammed and then fell as the plane was returning to Moody. Little item in the New York Times. You had to really search for this one. But, yes, a town in Georgia was bombed. Now, I tried to get somebody on the radio program tonight from that town in Georgia to say, you know, to tell us what's it like to, you know, live through a bombing by your own Air Force in the 1980s. But, folks, you wouldn't believe how difficult it is. I mean, this must be the smallest town ever created. I'll show you. I'll call the operator, right? Get the operator on the line and ask her what the area code is for Brantley, Georgia. Very simple.
AT&T, may I help you?
Yes, hi, operator. Can I have the area code, please, for Brantley, Georgia? That's Brantley.
Thank you. One moment.
Thank you.
Hey, Brantley's 912.
912.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we know now that the area code for Brantley is 912. So it makes sense that if you call information in the 912 area code, they'll have a number in Brantley, Georgia, right? Well, no. Listen to this. Oh, that's nothing but static, but listen when they pick up.
What city, please?
Yes, Brantley, Georgia, please.
Brantley?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You list Brantley?
Well, I have a Brantley County. Would that be what you wanted?
No, it's not Brantley County. It's a town called Brantley.
One moment.
Thank you. You see,
you don't know where that's near, do you?
No. I'm in New York, so I don't really know where anything is down there.
Okay. What is it you want now?
Well, I'm looking for the town hall in Brantley.
One moment.
Thank you. See, nobody down there has heard of this place.
sure. I show that I have a county, but I do not show a listing for the city of Brantley. And the town hall or city hall would be, or the county seat would be at Nahunta, Georgia.
Yeah, except I've already asked Brantley County, and they say there's no town called Brantley. It's in western Georgia. It's a very small town.
But you have no idea where it's near?
No, I don't. Is there any way to find that out?
Let me connect you my services.
Thank you.
Supervisor, can I help you, please?
Yes, hi. I'm trying to find out a number in Brantley, Georgia. It's the town of Brantley.
Thank you. Just a moment.
Thank you. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516. We have open lines.
Okay. I'm still trying to find the city.
I'm sorry?
Trying to find that city. All right. It's in the 912 area. Just a moment.
She found it? Impossible.
Okay. That's B-R-A-N-T-L-E-Y.
That's correct.
All right. It's through the Perry listing, sir. May I help you?
Through the Perry listings?
That's the information I show in my records.
Okay, how do you spell that, Perry?
P like Paul, P-E-R-R-Y.
Okay, well, what I need is I need the phone number for the town hall down there.
Thank you.
Thanks. Boy, I wish I had her before. No one else knew where it was.
Sir, in the business listings for B-R-A-N-T-L-E-Y, I find no town hall.
Well, do you see anything down there with a listing of Brantley, anything?
No, sir. In the business listings, I do not.
Okay, I guess it's such a small town, they probably don't even have anything down there.
Probably not, sir. It's probably reached through the Perry, the county listings is probably, you know, what you would have to call.
Okay.
But it must be a very small town, but I do show it in one of the books. It's reached through Perry.
Uh-huh. Just out of curiosity, how small do you think this town is?
Brantley?
Yeah.
Well, it must be just a little, I don't know, sir. I've never heard of it. And I live in Perry.
Oh, really?
I live there, but I've never heard of Brantley. It must be a very, very small settlement.
About how many people would you think live there?
Well, I have no idea because Perry is not a large, very large town in itself. Population probably 12,000.
Uh-huh.
So it couldn't be very large. Brantley could not be very large.
Uh-huh. Like around 100 people, you think?
Well, that would be possibly. Yes, possibly.
Wow. See, I'm from New York, and I just can't conceive of anything like that.
Yes, sir. Were you trying to reach, what were you trying to call about with the governmental listing, sir? Perhaps I could refer you to something.
Well, we were just, I'm calling from a radio station up in New York, and we were just trying to find somebody that knew something about the bombing the other day. You know, where the Air Force dropped a bomb on Brantley by mistake.
Oh, I see. Now, that Brantley was not near Perry.
Oh, was that Brantley County? Oh, no. There's two Brantleys, you mean?
Well, I don't know, sir, but it's not near Perry. It's not near Perry. I know what you're talking about. But I believe that's in the 404 area code. See, we have two area codes in Georgia, 912 and 404.
Uh-huh.
I believe, I know what you're talking about, but that was in the 404 area code.
I see, but it says in the newspaper that it happened in Brantley.
I don't know, sir. I don't have the newspaper before me, but it did not happen around Perry.
Uh-huh.
But I know what you're speaking of. I saw it in the news, and that little city is in the 404 area.
Uh-huh. And you think it's not called Brantley, then?
I don't know.
Yeah. Is it possible there might be two Brantleys in Georgia?
Well, I should have the cities listed in my records. You might call the 404 information and ask her.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, I'll give that a try, then.
All right.
Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Well, I'm not going to call the 404 people because I went through all that before, and they've never heard of anything even close to this, and they don't even want to talk to me about it. That's because they're in Atlanta, and they're much crabbier than the people we just spoke to, who are very nice, by the way. So that was the deal. Somewhere in Georgia, there was a bomb dropped by the Air Force, and it went off, and nobody was hurt, and everybody had a good time. So Hopefully that kind of thing won't happen too often. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516. Boy, we've been all over the place tonight, and we still have other things to talk about. But let's hear what's on your mind. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, it's Andrew Goldberger again.
It's you again. Okay. What's up?
Has anyone ever said to you, good evening, you're on the other end of my phone? Like when you say, good evening...
No, you could have been the first, but of course, you can't say that now.
I figured you might hang up on me. I was going to do that.
So I've hung up on you before, haven't I?
Oh, yeah, once.
Yeah, well, I could always do it again.
Now, what were you trying to call before? Brantley, Georgia, something like
that? Brantley, Georgia, yes, that was the name of the... Supposedly, according to this operator, it's wrong, but they said in the Associated Press, Brantley, Georgia was where they dropped the bomb, and...
Well, maybe the town doesn't exist anymore because it's...
That's an ominous thought. It never even occurred to me. I don't know. I have no answers. But if anyone has relatives in Brantley, Georgia, I'd sure like to know about it.
Now, okay, and you're talking about the lottery?
Yes. Did you buy a lottery ticket? You know, you're allowed to buy a lottery ticket.
What?
Kids are allowed to buy lottery tickets.
I'm allowed to buy one. I'm just not allowed to win.
Is that so?
Yeah. Winners have to be 18.
So I guess you'd have to...
I've walked into stores and bought lottery tickets.
Uh-huh.
But they said you can buy one, sure, but you can't win. So it's a waste of a dollar.
What happens if you do win?
I just give it to my mother. So, you know, she says, I'll give you half if you buy, you know, like that.
That's amazing. So, but kids can buy them. I mean, there's no restriction on that.
Yeah, well...
I mean, an infant in a crib could go in and buy a lottery ticket.
Someone or get a malpractice suit. The kid isn't allowed to keep the money.
Uh-huh.
That's when he's 21.
Yeah. Wow, that's...
And one more thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Can you believe those 900 number commercials?
Well, why don't you tell us about them?
Well, first of all, you know, I've called them. Like addicted, I've called like once a month maybe, at the most. I called once. They're not really that good. All it is it's $2 for 1 minute of listening to screaming, and you can't even hear half the message because someone else is on. And I mean, this is what you hear at the other end, and with someone talking. I mean, it's a real waste of $2. I thought if you want to
at least $2,
that's the way to do it.
Some of them cost a lot more than $2, you know.
What?
Some of them cost a lot more than $2.
I know.
I mean...
Those party lines, you stay on for not 1 minute. You stay on for like an hour, 2 hours.
Can I tell you something here? They have these numbers. They're 540 numbers. They're not 900 numbers. But they can be a lot more expensive. Like the calls can be...
I called one of those.
They can be $50 per call or something. They can be whatever the company wants them to be.
I know.
Because they're not regulated.
They're really not advertised.
Right. And what's been going on is people have been getting calls from computers saying, you know, do you know who spins the wheel on Wheel of Fortune? If you call 540, you know, sucker or whatever, and tell us the right answer, you could win a vacation to the moon or something like that. So all these people call this number and give the obviously easy answer,
but
they wind up spending $50 for making that phone call, and of course they don't win anything from it except, you know, some kind of certificate for being a fool.
The one thing is, 976 and 970 are owned by New York Telephone.
Well,
and it's 28 cents for a mass announcement call.
Hey, you know what you're talking about. That's right. 970 numbers, they can be more, I believe.
Cents though on the phone bill.
Yeah.
Because that's the ones that I call.
Uh huh.
Not like a lot.
Yeah, 976 numbers are 28 cents no matter what time of day you call.
I know.
That's something that they slipped by everybody about a year ago.
They
used to be a discount when you called at night, but now, you know, it's no longer like 8 cents, it's now 28 cents. That was a big rate increase, but no one really saw that go by.
Well,
you know?
I mean, normal calls are how much? 10.2 cents, I think.
Boy, this kid knows what he's talking. Yes, yeah, 10.2 cents is exactly what it is.
It's the first minute. How much is it additional?
It's 2 cents each additional minute. Now, that's not taking into account the discount period.
It's not really that bad calling a 976 or 970.
Well, 28 cents per call is what it amounts to. It's still cheaper for you to call the time in Washington D.C. than it is to call the time here.
Yeah.
Because it's a long distance call, but the rate is cheaper than the 28 cents that you pay for the call.
You know
if
what?
You stay on for less than a minute. That's how I was going to find out the time before if you didn't help me out there.
It shows up in a very, very small column on the corner how much 976. It doesn't show how many calls. It doesn't show that much. It just shows how much. And it isn't really that much.
Uh-huh. No, it doesn't show you very much at all. Unless you keep close tabs on your phone bill, you could really be taken for a ride.
Oh, you can call up and find out. I mean, no, but my mother doesn't even know. I tell her.
Uh-huh.
She wouldn't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and it's pretty, and, what's it called? They have some pretty, from my friend, I know this, they have some pretty bad ones at 970, even though it's
yes.
28 cents.
Yes, they sure do. If you walk around Lower Manhattan late at night, you'll find all these pieces of paper on the ground that have these 970 numbers with different four-letter endings that...
It's horrendous. Listen to what they do.
Okay.
5 minutes they store you by telling the prizes what you need to do with them, and they talk very, very slowly.
Very slowly.
And this is the same. And so then, finally, after all that, they say, please press a number on your phone, 1, 2, one for rock music, 2 for classical, 3 for contemporary, I think it was, and four for country.
Can you press a number before it reaches the stage where it tells you to press a number?
Well, you have to do a touch tone.
Right, but can you hit a touch tone before it asks you to hit one? Like, can you call up, it starts talking, you hit a touch tone because you know what your choice already is?
What? No.
You cut down on time that way, you know?
Well, yeah. So the thing is, so then you finally, I called up again with the other phone with the touch tone, and I pressed number 1 for rock,
uh-huh.
And it says, you have just chosen classical music.
Ooh.
So why? They don't want anyone to win.
That's pretty weird. Well, you know what you got to do, Andrew? You got to report these things when they happen, and you got to not let these companies get away with that kind of crap. Because that's what they're there to quickly make money and get out before they get caught.
So
I've heard it from people that work for the companies.
Bach and Mozart, and they ask you ten questions. Questions.
That's only one example, though. I mean, we could go on all night with examples of how they're doing this.
False. Like, after you put in your answer, it'll stall around 30 seconds.
Let me tell you a little story that happened to me, okay? I had to call somebody. I was in one of these crazy stores that had one of these weird payphones, right, that wasn't a real payphone.
Yeah.
And I had to call somebody in California, all right? And I dialed O for operator so that I could charge it to my calling card, right, my AT&T calling card.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I hear all these beeps and buzzes and things as it's connecting to some distant city someplace, and then the person on the other end picks up and says, operator, and I said, hi, can you connect me to AT&T, please? And, she said, well, I really can't do that, sir, unless I know where it is you're calling from. Can you give me your phone number? And, of course, there's no phone number on the payphone. They never put the phone number on these new payphones. So I said, well, no, I don't. I can tell you where I am, and I told her where I was. And she said, no, that's incorrect. You're in Maryland. Now, here I was in Setauket, New York, and she's telling me that I'm in Maryland. And I said, well, no, operator, I am in New York. I mean, I'm sure of it. I'm looking at the license plates and things like that. Definitely in New York. And she said, no, you're in Maryland. That's where you're coming up as. Obviously, I was being routed through their strange phone company some way. Now, what you have to do is you have to tell them. You have to say, look, I know you have to connect me to an operator. I mean, I happen to know that they were required to connect me to an AT&T operator. They just got sued by the FCC, you know, and went through hell to do this. And I got into a 10-minute argument with them, but they did wind up hooking me up with AT&T through one of their own lines. If you know what they have to do, and this goes for the companies that operate the 900 numbers, too, they have to listen to you, you know?
No, but...
Because they can get in a lot of trouble if they don't.
I just did a little experiment.
Yeah?
couple weeks ago, which is pretty funny. I called from a phone booth to see if I could reach 976.
Uh huh.
And as you know, phone booths don't accept pennies.
Uh huh. Right.
So I just put in a quarter. I call 976 blank 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 because it's a wrestling line that I call. You know, I love wrestling.
Right. What'd you get?
So I got the whole message, and all I really paid was 25 cents.
It connected you.
Yeah, it connected me.
Was this from a real payphone or from one of the fake ones?
It was with the New York telephone.
Really?
The gray thing, yeah. I couldn't believe it.
So we can save 3 cents by making those calls. Now, I'd be very surprised if you were able to get through to a 970 number or a 540 number that way.
Oh, no, 970 is the same thing. It's 28 cents per call.
Are you sure about that, everyone?
Yep.
Well, how about 540 on the conference line?
540 is any unlimited number. I mean, some are $6.
Right, but can...
This is so ridiculous.
But can you reach it from a payphone? I don't think you can.
What? Yeah. But they, you know, they have to say, children, please ask parents before calling.
Uh-huh.
This is so funny, okay? They put in small print on the bottom,
yeah.
Children, please ask. This was during a cartoon, I think Smurfs it was. And what they said is 540 something. It was for if you would sing into the telephone, they said. And what you do is you sing, they record it, and they call you up, you leave your number, too.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you can become a recording star, just like me, and sing at all these birthday parties with me.
Now, you see, there's no way that somebody should have to pay a bill for that.
$6 a minute.
That's insane. Nobody should have to pay for having their kid coerced into doing something like that. I can beat that, Andrew. I can beat that with another story, okay? You ready for this? Last Christmas, a TV station in Seattle aired a half-hour program, you know, one of those, like, commercial programs?
Oh, yeah.
And it was all about dialing Santa Claus, right? Do you know what they did? For the aid of little kids that might not be able to operate the telephone, they said, it's okay, kids, just pick up your phone and hold it up to the television set, and we'll play the touch tones for you. You hold your phone up to that, and it connects you. They play the touch tones over the TV set, and your phone is connected to this thing that costs vast amounts of money.
Oh, my God.
Incredible, huh? Listen, Andrew, we've got to take some more calls. Thanks for calling, though.
Hey, just wait. Can my brother say hello?
Yeah, sure.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, yes. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yeah?
Oh, jeez. I haven't sat in here for like a million years because that guy, Andrew.
Yeah, well, you know, the guy had something to say, you know?
Yeah.
But what do you have to say?
Well, I mean, what's going to happen to the pilot, the guy who dropped the bomb?
Well, he remains unidentified, so right now he is a man without a name.
Hey, why don't you call an Air Force base and find out about it?
Well, I was thinking of doing that. You know, I'd much rather talk to the people who got bombed rather than the people who did the bombing. But if I can't find them, I guess I'll have to go to, you know, to the bombers.
Yeah. Is this stuff going to, like, shift upwards and zap us? I mean, we're not going to know. I mean, I'm from Bay Shore.
Yeah.
But Chris, you know, with all the lights, it's not really going to make too much of a difference out here.
Well, you know, it's a 500-pound bomb. I don't know anything about 500-pound bombs. I imagine it's just meant for a small town in Georgia somewhere. It's kind of weird when you think of it. I mean, there's people going around flying airplanes, dropping bombs left and right. We don't even know what's going on up there. Until something like this happens, but just glad nobody got hurt. Although, if someone did get hurt, I don't think anybody would be able to find them. No one knows where this damn town is. So, you guys okay over there?
Yeah, we're all right.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Anything else on your minds?
Yeah, I just want to say, son, if you're still out there, keep trying.
Yeah.
Because he tried to call before me.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to say hello to Michelle. If you're listening, give me a ring, please.
Yes, we have lots of people named Michelle that listen to this show. It's true, though. More than any other radio show on Long Island, people named Michelle listen to this program.
All right, Michelle,
I don't know why it is.
Can you call me?
It's like a Rocky Horror thing. Okay. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. This is Michelle.
I don't think so.
I'm not calling about for that guy, but I want to talk to you about the this thing about the lottery system.
Okay. Just don't say too much, but go ahead.
Well, what I heard about a lottery system is that this place, this magazine, you know, they have those things that you can win lottery instantly.
Uh-huh.
Is that true?
Well, how does it work?
Well, I don't know. They just say that you have to send in a some kind of form, and you have to answer. They'll answer you by giving six numbers, lucky numbers.
Lucky numbers. You know, that there's 976 numbers you can call to hear lucky numbers, so you pay them money so that they tell you numbers?
No, you don't have to pay any money. They give you for free.
Well, that's awfully nice of them to do that. I mean, I know it must cost a lot to make up some numbers.
Well, actually, I think it's true because I did try it, and I won $12.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty... How many times did you try it?
Once.
And you won $12 at one time?
I tried the second time. I didn't win.
So you tried more than once then?
Well, first time I tried, I won. I tried again, second time, but I didn't win.
And did you try any other time after that?
Oh.
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you won and you lost. You should go for a tiebreaker.
Yes, I guess so. Okay, bye.
Well, thanks for calling, Michelle. Where are you calling from, by the way? Oh, never mind. She's gone. All right, whatever. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
All right. I wanted to talk to you. First, I want to say that Michelle has such a lovely voice.
Your name's not Michelle, is it?
What?
Your name's not Michelle, too, is it?
No, my name is China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Never heard your show before. I wanted to talk to you about the situation that's going on campus right now.
Okay, go right ahead.
I know it's the rape that's going on campus. I want to know what you think about it.
Well, we talked about that a few weeks ago. For those that don't know, there was a rape that took place on campus. It was over the Easter break, and a student trying to get into a dormitory was raped, and she identified a student as the rapist, and it's turned kind of into a white woman versus black man type of a thing. A lot of people rallied to the black man's defense and said that he was not the rapist, and he had all kinds of witnesses saying he was someplace else. So for a while you saw Stony Brook on the news and in the newspapers, a racially divided campus where women aren't safe walking at night. We talked about this a little bit last week, too. What you saw on TV was not the way it really was. It wasn't, you know, a divisive type of a thing. I mean, we were all kind of confused. We didn't really know what had happened, and we were kind of trying to find out what had happened. It wasn't one of these divisive things that you see on L.A. Law. It was, a situation involving human beings. There were no, one group of people on one side, one group of people on the other side. We were all trying to help the victims involved. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm not racist or anything. I just, from what I got from it was that, I heard stories like there were black women going through the hallways, like banging on doors, and one of my friends is involved, is friends with this girl who was raped. He had to literally, like, move into her dormitory room to protect her. Because there were people, like, calling her, there were people banging on her door, and it was, like, a real big thing.
Uh-huh.
And I just think that, that blacks really kind of, every time there's a problem, they always bring up the fact that it's racist.
Well, okay, but one thing.
Yeah.
They always bring it up, or certain elements in the community always bring it up?
Well, from what I get, it's always them.
You see, now, somebody like Al Sharpton, right?
Uh-huh.
You have one Al Sharpton and 1,000 people that don't yell and scream like he does, and who are you going to notice? You see, he takes all the cameras,
Uh-huh.
And if people were banging on her door, yeah, they got the attention. What about all the people that weren't banging on her door? What about all the people that were sympathizing with her? I mean, take the Central Park rape, right, which we talked about last week. The black community has overwhelmingly been very supportive of the victim. Yet the media attention is turning to people that are saying that it's a racist type of a thing. Because that's what sells newspapers and makes people tune into the news when there's a conflict. If there's no conflict, if there's people working together in harmony, that's all very nice, but it doesn't really get people to tune in and buy papers.
Okay.
That's how I saw the Stony Brook situation, because, you know, this is a very harmonious place. I've always thought so. I've been here a while, and I've seen many different ethnic groups get along just fine. And that was true to a degree in a very stressful situation a few weeks ago. That wasn't reflected in the mass media. I didn't expect it to be.
Yeah, see, I see a lot of things going on at Stony Brook, and I'm, you know, I don't go to Stony Brook. Actually, I don't really live around here, but I just hear a lot of things. And I know the media only wants you to hear the bad. That's what I hate media.
Well, it's not, you know, we don't want to categorize the media either, but they do like to sensationalize.
Right.
Not all the media. I mean, there are some very responsible news groups around.
Yeah, well, very few, but I would myself not be caught. maybe that's not the term to use. I wouldn't walk around Stony Brook, or I wouldn't be on Stony Brook campus at night.
Uh-huh.
Just like things that I've heard.
Uh-huh.
Because I know some people that go to Stony Brook, and I mean people opening up fire, you know, like guns and shooting people and things like that. And I don't know if all that is just really, I mean, drama and all that, but I find it very scary. I mean, why would somebody actually want to board there if this is what goes on?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about living in New York. There's a lot of exaggeration as far as the amount of things that go on. I mean, I ride the subways all the time. I can't recall ever seeing one of the horrible things that people insist go on all the time in the subways.
So I'm
not saying there isn't bad out there. Of course there is. But when you keep going over these things and building it up in your head, you wind up with a lot of misconceptions. You know, I'm not saying it's not dangerous. It is. You can train yourself to watch out for the danger signs. You know, don't walk down back alleys and watch out for suspicious looking people and that kind of thing. But don't condemn the whole place or the whole, you know, atmosphere because of a few bad things, because that is really what will tear the place down.
Yeah, well, see, I can kind of, you know, I can get what you just said, because this whole thing with, you know, the big thing with the subway racist and all that, the rapist,
right.
I mean, I ride the subways late, like the other day, about 12 at night by myself.
Uh-huh.
And it's not something I normally do, but, I mean, I wasn't really terrified. You know, it's kind of that whole thing, you don't think it's going to happen to you.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. It's tough to say until it happens to you, you know, and you know for sure what it feels like. But yes, we do feel immune.
Yeah. But anyway,
what train were you on?
I'm sorry?
What train did you ride?
Oh, the number 6.
Number 6?
Yeah, subway.
Yeah, I like that line, Lexington Avenue line.
Yeah.
But if you had been on it 1 hour later, it would have been a 4. Do you know that?
Really?
Yeah,
well,
it turns into a 4 train at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'm sorry?
It turns into a 4 train at 1 o'clock in the morning, but I guess that's irrelevant.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, I'm a subway buff, in case you couldn't tell.
I love New York subways.
Yeah, they're incredible. I mean, they're dirty, they're filthy, but they get you places.
Yeah, they're fun.
And you know what I really like about New York subways are the musicians that they're trying to ban. You know, every subway stop you hear some different kind of music. I think it's great.
I was on the subway the other day, and this guy comes walking in. You know how people do with the little buckets and they ask you for money.
Uh-huh.
This guy came in saying that he was in a drug rehab center.
Uh-huh.
And that they were closing it down or something, and he needs a new place to go, so he would appreciate any donations.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I couldn't believe the nerve of this guy. I myself thought, well, you know, if I give, I never give out any money to these people, because I know where it's going to go.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking to myself, you know, this guy is he's an idiot.
Uh-huh.
Because he's saying that he's from a drug rehab, and he can be just collecting money and going out and buying drugs.
True.
And it's just, whatever.
I was on a train last night, and there was a guy walking through selling garbage. Well, he'd hand you a Garbage Pail Kid card. On the back of it said, "Hello, I'm a stupid jerk trying to sell these cards so I can support my wife and kids." I mean, what can you do? Somebody that does something like that, you know? Give him some
you
change.
You just want to give him a buck.
It's, you know, it's really wild, some of the things you see.
Great. I love New York.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks very much for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Brings up an interesting point. Ellen Goodman of Newsday wrote a piece. She's a syndicated columnist, actually, at the Boston Globe. Women in the cities learn the trouble evasive tactics called street smarts. They learn to cross the street at any sign of trouble, to have an escort at night, to avoid eye contact with strangers, to be wary of men, especially of young black men. In turn, these boys and men on their way to work or school or home learn that they are considered dangerous because of the color of their skin. The woman learns to see herself as a potential victim. The man learns to be seen as a potential criminal. The freedom of each is steadily circumscribed. One night last winter, a young and white friend left a movie theater and headed down the street to her car. Out of the corner of her eye, she anxiously tracked two black men walking until they were right in front of her. When she finally looked up at one of the men, her fear met his smile. He was a colleague from work. In that moment, he read her expression. Everything passed between them: hurt, anger, understanding, sadness. That's what crime does. That's what racism does. That's how hard it is to tell them apart. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric. How you doing? Okay. This is Chris again.
Chris, how are you? You've been calling a lot tonight, eh?
Actually, it was my friend Dave before.
Uh-huh.
And he's a new listener.
What's on your mind?
I'm just, you know, it's about this racism and everything.
Yeah?
Did you hear what Morton Downey Jr. did just for ratings?
I don't know if I want to, but go ahead, tell me.
Well, this is what he says. Four white supremacists accost this guy in an airport, take him into the bathroom, shave all his hair off.
This sounds like a joke.
I know, and draws a swastika on his face. I saw this picture in the paper. It's amazing. This guy is so sick. And they say, of course, that he probably drew it on his face himself, considering the thing is backwards, and it looks like he tried to draw it, you know, with his own hand.
Uh-huh.
But it's amazing what people will do for, you know, ratings on a TV show.
Well, wait, how did Morton Downey enter into this?
They said that he said that four white supremacists accosted him, shaved all his hair off, and drew a swastika on his face.
Oh, my goodness. So he's doing his shows now bald?
Well, not totally. No, his hair's grown back, of course. But, you know, just for ratings. When did this happen?
Yeah.
It was last week.
I didn't even hear about this. Of course, anything with Morton Downey in it, I try to stay away from it.
Well,
including news
stories.
We
all do, but
That's incredible. Well, you know, he demonstrates something that's really crazy about our society, the shock value, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this kind of compares to the Al Sharpton thing in a way that Al Sharpton was really just trying to get ratings, you know?
Yeah.
He was.
Oh, those guys are made for each other.
I know. He was trying to excite the minorities into a revolt, I guess that's what you'd call it. You know, he really raised, I don't know how to say it. He shouldn't have done what he did, though, because it probably started a lot more racist feelings.
Well, it polarized people, yes.
And the jogger who got beaten kind of counters it now. You know, he got both angry, you know. But, of course, the Tawana Brawley thing is now, everybody knows it's a lie. Well, at least those who read the paper think it's a lie. It depends on how you analyze these news events.
I'm still trying to figure out, we talked about this a little bit last week, why is it that rape victims don't get their names released? Like, nobody knows the name of the Central Park person, but everybody knew Tawana Brawley's name. I don't understand that.
No, Tawana Brawley, I think she came out herself. See, that's the idea. You see, the Tawana Brawley case was used to Al Sharpton's advantage. That's why he released the name, of course.
Uh-huh. So was he the one who released the name?
What's happened? She comes up with a story, goes out and says it, you know, and all of a sudden she gets this idea. Oh, great, you know, let's make everybody hear about this. And of course, these three guys come over, Mason, Maddox, and Sharpton, and they say, oh yeah, you know. Now, I think Mason and Maddox, they're just lawyers who are going to represent her, you know.
Right.
But Sharpton was using this to his advantage. You know, they got, yeah, exactly. They
right.
got a lot of contributions.
And that's why I doubt that she was the one that said, let's make this public. I'm sure it was something that he said. From what I understand, based on the Newsday story last week, she came up with the story just to stay out of trouble with her parents, which is a lot different than trying to start a racial incident.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
well,
if that
I
is
think
true,
Al Sharpton made it into a racial
right. If that story is true, you would have to say Al Sharpton was the one that that really was trying to make it into a racial incident. And, you know, if he knew what the truth was, I don't know. Maybe he didn't know what the truth was.
Well, I don't think he really cared whether it was true or not. I think he just cared about the money.
Uh-huh. Well, you have to wonder when someone constantly refuses to talk about anything, you know?
Yeah.
He's either a lawyer or somebody who's not telling the truth.
Did you see this, saw this thing in Newsday Part 2 here? It's the safety quiz for women, female runners now.
Oh, boy.
So they can avoid the same kind of thing. And there's a whole list of things they should do.
Jog in their living room.
I suppose that's a good, you know, like get two big dogs,
uh-huh.
run around with a gun. Well, I don't know, you know, a guy called said that he was carrying a sheetrock knife around last week.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you didn't think that was such a good idea.
Uh-huh.
So he thought, what was it, a group of Puerto Ricans were going to accost him. Yes. I think that guy was a little on the crazy side, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. What happened? A group of Albanians get him instead? Well, so I want to get a couple more calls here, so thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
All right, 632-6901. We got a couple of minutes left. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Good evening.
Hi.
I'd just like to get back to some more serious things that you're talking about, being racism.
Okay.
You had a girl on before that she didn't understand why racism runs rampant in Stony Brook, and she went on to say about how she felt safe to ride the number 6 train at midnight, but she didn't feel safe to walk around Stony Brook. Now, that, to me, I lived in the city, and that, to me, is the most ridiculous statement I ever heard.
Well, I think it basically points out that we're not really sure one way or the other. You know, we feel, we're told that Stony Brook isn't safe, and so we don't feel safe. Yet we ride the subway late at night, something that we know isn't supposed to be safe, and we feel safe. So it's kind of a paradox there, you know? I don't think racism is running rampant at Stony Brook at all.
Well,
I don't think you could point to a more harmonious place in that I know of, you know?
Well, actually, I tend to disagree with you as far as how racism doesn't run rampant at Stony Brook. I think that racism is a serious thing here at Stony Brook that needs to be addressed, not only with the students, but with the administration. To take one case is Quincy, you know, Quincy. He was asked to leave school
uh-huh.
on no grounds at all. You know, there was no trial. He hadn't gone to court yet. The administration of this school here said, you know, we'll get out and then we'll see what happens later on. And that's how the factor of racism entered this case.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't that a white girl was raped by a black man. It was that he was expelled from school, you know.
Let me just make myself clear here. I'm not saying there's no racism around here. Of course there is, but they did not get away with barring Quincy True from attending classes. An uproar was raised, and they didn't get away with it, you see. If this had been a place where racism runs rampant, nobody would have spoken up.
Had those students not caused, you know, what they had, then he would not have been accepted back into school.
Exactly.
Because if his friends were out there taking care of business.
Well, not just his friends, but people who knew that you know, it wasn't a just situation.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. Presently, we're trying to form a coalition to fight racism on campus. We're trying to get representatives from each ethnic club here at Stony Brook to get together and discuss ways of fighting racism.
Okay, why don't you give out the information, and we'll close on that note.
Okay, if anyone is interested in becoming a representative and they're involved in some sort of ethnic group or any other group on campus, they should come down to the Polity Suite at 5:30 on Tuesday, and we'll be discussing more plans about how this coalition is going to form and work. Right now it's in the very, very beginning stages.
And for those that might not know where the Polity Suite is, that's in the Union Building?
Right, in the Union, second floor.
Okay. Well, I hope you get a strong turnout. Let us know what happens in weeks to come, okay?
Great, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. And that's going to just about do it for us here tonight on Brain Damage. Oh, what nice, pleasant music that is, huh? Kind of brings you back to childhood. Oh, I like this a lot. I guess I should shut up then, huh? And that's going to just about do it for Brain Damage tonight. So we'll see you again next week, 10 o'clock. Stay tuned now for Brother Nick and Lobotomy and all kinds of neat things like that. Right, Nick?
Oh, we're rocking.
Okay, we got some good music for you coming up. Eric Corley with you here. See you again next week. Be good.